O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Hear again that last phrase in today's gospel reading, John chapter 2, verse 25. He, Jesus, knew what was in men. That is a very literal word-for-word translation, which I am all in favor of. In some versions of the Bible, the translators add extra words to make the meaning clear. That can sometimes lead to problems, but the translations that I looked at are doing a pretty good job of getting at what Jesus meant. They render it, he knew what people are like, and he knew human nature, and he knew what was in the human heart. Perhaps one might say, Jesus gets us. Did you see the Jesus gets us commercials during the Super Bowl? They caused quite a controversy, and much has been written about them. I was glad to know that I wasn't the only person that had some concerns about it. On one hand, it's really nice to see Jesus getting some publicity. But that statement, Jesus gets us, needs some context and explanation. Showing people washing other people's feet and saying, Jesus didn't teach hate, Jesus washed feet, may have been misunderstood by people. One might infer from the commercials that Jesus went town to town washing everyone's feet. That is not what Jesus' foot washing was all about. Jesus washed people's feet exactly one time. He didn't wash the feet of just anyone. He washed his 12 disciples' feet, and he did it directly before the Last Supper. Context here is very important. The custom of Jesus' time was that if you were a wealthy person and you had a dinner party, a servant would wash the guests' feet when they arrived. The foot washing was practical. Unlike Da Vinci's painting of the Last Supper, in that time and place, people didn't dine sitting at a table. They ate on the floor, reclining on pillows. Given that people wore sandals and the roads were dirty, washing the guests' feet kept dirt out of the house. It also made the dining more pleasant for everyone because reclining as they were, someone's face would be close to somebody else's feet. The job of foot washing was given to the lowest ranking slave in the household. In John's gospel, Jesus takes on the role of a slave, a servant, and washes the disciples' feet. He is giving them an object lesson in humility and service. Jesus tells them that he is his master. He's their creator and savior. Yet he chooses to humble himself and serve them. He says that they should likewise humble themselves and serve others. Jesus follows that up with a new commandment, the commandment to love one another. In many places, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is open to all believers. It was not exclusively the property of the Jews, as some people thought. Other nations can be included in God's kingdom too. But that's not the primary message of the foot washing. This is about loving and serving others as Jesus loved and served us. Perhaps the commercial would be improved if it showed the people whose feet were washed then turning around and washing the feet of other people, including the people who washed their feet. They're all sinners. We all need to repent. We all ought to serve others. Jesus' primary message was that we should repent and believe in the gospel. My concern is that those commercials proclaim forgiveness without repentance and salvation without faith. And they stereotype the very people that they claim stereotype others. If we aren't convicted of our own personal private sins by Jesus, then how can he pardon us of our sins? Jesus loved us while we were still sinners, but he loves us too much to leave us wallowing in our sin. Back to the foot washing. There are some denominations, particularly the Mennonites, who practice foot washing in their worship regularly, kind of like a sacrament. Lutherans don't consider foot washing a sacrament. It wasn't commanded by Christ, as Holy Communion and baptism are, and there is no promise of Christ's presence in it. However, traditionally, Lutherans have had foot washing as part of the service on Maundy Thursday. The pastor washes the feet of people in the congregation. I did that for many years, but it never really caught on. It just doesn't connect with our culture. People felt awkward and uncomfortable. Maybe that was the point. But I stopped doing it, although I'd certainly consider doing it again if people found it meaningful. So how does all of this about foot washing apply to the verse we began with, Jesus knew what was in men? It is often said that all people are basically good at heart, that it doesn't matter what you believe or what you do, as long as you're nice to others and true to yourself, everyone is going to heaven, we're all just taking different paths. That is not the human nature Jesus knows. Listen to what he says to us in Scripture. Jesus says we are all sinners. We have all been made in the image of God, but that image has been marred beyond recognition by sin. Repeatedly, the Bible witnesses to the fact that we are born children of a fallen humanity, and we are reborn children of God only in the waters of holy baptism. What about our hearts? Jesus says that out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. That's Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. The truth is not found in us. There is no path to heaven in us. Truth and salvation come from outside of us. They come from Christ alone. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. John 14:6. There's an old story about President Calvin Coolidge, who was called Silent Cal because he spoke so little. As the president was coming home from church one Sunday, a reporter asked him, what was the pastor's sermon about? And the president responded, sin. So then he asked him, well, what did the pastor have to say about sin? And the president said he was against it. No surprise, Jesus is against sin. He hates it. We see that in the gospel reading, the cleansing of the temple, which also requires some context. The temple was the place where the Jews made their animal sacrifices. It was also a center for banking, and the place where taxes were paid. It seems there was some price gouging going on there. There was also some dispute over what kinds of coins could be used in the transactions, as some coins were considered blasphemous because they had pagan images on them. In Jesus' eyes, the priest had rejected their God and chosen money and Caesar as their gods instead. They had made the temple an unholy, unclean, sinful place. So Jesus did what the high priest should have done. He cleansed the temple. If the law had been followed, some of the spilled coins would have gone to the poor. The common people who really loved God would have applauded this. The religious establishment, the political authorities, would not have been so happy. This incident was part of what motivated the people who plotted to kill Jesus. Jesus gets us. He got that the temple money changers, sellers, and priests, all right. He got that they were greedy and had no regard, no respect, no compassion for God or for their fellow human beings. Jesus disapproved of what they did. He judged them. He did not wash their feet and tell them that what they were doing was just fine. He didn't say to them, keep on cheating people and profaning the house of God. He was angry enough to drive them out with a whip. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus is a hater. I'm not saying that Jesus teaches hate. Hate's a very strong and powerful word. But listen to what the Bible says. Remembering again that the prophets spoke by the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son, Proverbs 6:16-19 states seven things that God hates. It uses the word hate. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Jesus, God, hates these things. The Bible says so. Which doesn't give us a license to hate anyone, but it shows just how far God is against sin. And in Revelation 2:6, Jesus says he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. What did the Nicolaitans believe? They thought that since Jesus forgives sins, they could do whatever they wanted, they could sin as much as they wanted, they could be as bad as they wanted to be, and it didn't matter, because Jesus forgives sins. There are a lot of people and churches that believe that today. Jesus doesn't look the other way regarding sin. He hates sin. Now, who are the most hated people in America? I used to be the secretary of the board of the secretary on the board of directors of the Domestic Abuse Counseling Center in Pittsburgh. Men who abuse their wives and children are the most hated people in the country, and I can affirm that. What are we to do with them? A lot of people would say lock them up and throw away the key. I get that. I could do that. But that might not be what's best for their family. And the abuser is a sinner just like you and me. He is someone that Jesus died for, and God wills his salvation. Probably the abuser was once abused too. So what are we to do? We don't wash the abuser's feet and say, keep on abusing your family with our blessing. We do say Jesus loves you and he loves your family. And we get that your family is hurting, and for that reason, we are going to wash your family's feet. We are going to serve them by protecting them. And we get that you are broken. So we are going to wash your feet by trying to fix you so that hopefully, maybe one day, you can return to your home a better person. Most of all, we are going to pray and use the means of grace to bring the gospel to bear on your lives so that you might know the comfort and the hope found in Christ. Jesus does get us. He understands us. He loves us. But he won't break or change the rules for us. There are no mitigating circumstances, no valid excuses for our sins. Yet he forgives us when we repent. That's grace. Grace is free, but it's not cheap. Grace, cheap grace, is a shallow, hollow statement saying something like, I'm not so bad. God will accept me. It's what he likes to do. Costly grace considers the deep debt of our sin and how Jesus paid for it with his flesh and blood, with his very life. Jesus gets us. Now, you come get Jesus. He comes each week in word and sacrament for our salvation. Amen.